Hello, everybody. I'm Wayne Tucker, and this is the Newfound Records Radio Hour. We begin today by rolling back the clock, rolling it back several decades to the 1950s and the 1960s. Back to a time when Newfoundland and Labrador musicians wanted to record their stuff. They wanted to get it played on the radio. Some even wanted to have a big hit. Others just wanted to preserve their music for posterity. But where could you go to record? There were no computers then. And unlike today, they couldn't record at a home studio. In fact, there wasn't a recording studio in the entire province. Some makeshift studios were set up to fulfill the need, and those were mostly in radio stations. But if you wanted to get serious, if you wanted to record in a real studio, you had to travel. You had to travel up along, to places like Halifax, to Toronto, to Montreal, or to Boston, or New York. And travel was expensive, very, very expensive. Yet, many determined artists did pack their bags and journey to those distant studios, sometimes to cut just one single with two tracks. Groups from the island like the Ravens, the Shindigs, and the Ducats in the 60s, and groups from the big land, the Keeknicks and the Crystals. Now, some musicians even chose to move to the mainland so they could be close to studios and to markets. Locals like Dick Nolan, Harry Hibbs, Roy Payne, and Roy Penny, they all settled in Toronto, the entertainment capital of Canada, and they became full-time musicians and entertainers up there. Now, by the early 1970s, recording facilities had improved in the province's capital, St. John's. Mon Radio began to record LPs, including a platinum seller for Dick Nolan. John White recorded there, and so did Rockers, Borealis, and Gord Tracy. Many more recorded there too. And then in the mid-70s, Jack Windsor decided to explore his hobby to the fullest. He started Echo Recording Studio as an extension to his music store in St. John's. And for several years, despite its limitations, Echo was the local recording studio of choice for those artists who couldn't travel to a real recording studio. Then in the late 70s, two young but experienced musicians had a dream. Neil Bishop and Claude Keynes wanted to improve on the modest recording facilities that were available locally. They wanted to set up a dedicated recording studio with the best equipment that they could afford. They wanted musicians of Newfoundland and Labrador to make good quality recordings with top-notch musicians at prices they could afford. And they wanted to set it up on the island's west coast in Stephenville. Today, the Newfound Records Radio Hour presents part one of the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio. And along the way, we'll hear excerpts from a recent interview with co-founder of Claude Sound, Claude Keynes. But first, let's sample a little of the music which Claude Sound Studio gave us. We just heard Gord Quinton in the background, and now we're going to hear from a local boy who had a chance to finally cut a recording, and that local boy was legendary fiddler Emile Benoit. The studio opened in March of 1977, and it provided a great opportunity for West Coast musicians like Emile to finally be able to cut a record. While making his first record, Emile composed the Claude Sound Jig, and from his 1979 LP, Emile's Dream, produced and arranged by Kelly Russell, this is Emile Benoit on the Newfound Records Radio Hour. Thank you. The Claude Sound Jig by Emile Benoit from 1979. Now, another West Coast musician who quickly took advantage of the spanking new studio near his home in Cornerbrook was guitar virtuoso Lloyd Bartlett. Bartlett could now drive to Stephenville an hour or so he could commute there while recording. No need to spend money in a room for a night or two or three. So about a month after the studio opened, Lloyd had his first single in hand, the first recording released on the key label by the Claude Sound Recording Studio. Bartlett is best known today for his several albums of guitar instrumentals. From 1977, though, we get a rare chance to hear Lloyd Bartlett's vocals as he sings his own composition, Me and My Lady.
Tried to make my way in life, tried many different things. I thought that I could live on wheels when I knew I needed wings. But things are changing in my head, and I think I realize that I can't live to look all right. Hung up my jeans and I sold my good guitar. But you know you can't be anywhere when that's not where you are. So fill my tank and check my oil and clean my window, please. And let me get out.
From 1977, recorded at the Claude Sound Studios in Stephenville, Lloyd Bartlett singing his own composition, Me and My Lady. Now today, the Newfound Records Radio Hour is featuring a history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio, and one band to quickly take advantage of the opportunity to make a single was North Wind. They were from Gander, and they were amongst the earliest to record on the studio's key label. From 1978, North Wind, with a song that was originally recorded by the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, Look Away, on 93.5.
Thank you. feeling alone. Some of them women should look pretty good. Check it up and down where you should have told me. There's nothing pretty in my neighborhood. Look away, oh Lord, look away, yeah. Look away.
Great rockin' there from Gary and Janet Nichols and North Wind. They were from Gander, and that was one of the earliest singles released on the Claude Sound Recording Studio label in 1978. And if it wasn't for Claude Sound, perhaps there would have been neither recording at all by North Wind, because I don't, as far as I know, that was their one and only recording. Newfound Records will be right back with co-founder and co-owner of Claude Sound, Claude Keynes.
Wetlands provide homes for hundreds of species of birds and other wildlife, but these habitats are disappearing fast. Help us save Canada's wetlands today. Ducks Unlimited Canada, active by nature.
This is CJMR FM, 93.5.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to a Newfound Records Radio Hour special presentation, part one of the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio. Claude Keynes co-found and co-owned the Claude Sound Studio. I asked him how the novel idea to establish the province's finest recording studio in a rather remote part of the province came about.
I was busy with a musical career from, you know, I went on the road back in 1966. I left Stephenville and returned some 9 years later in 1975 from St. John's. We were actually playing with different groups in around St. John's. The last group that I played in St. John's with was a group called Pinnacle. That was myself and Neil Bishop, Dennis Parker, and Ted McNeil. At the end of that group, the end of 1974, Neil Bishop had an offer of a job here in Stephenville with Max and Larry Toms, a couple of boys who were originally from Lassie, and they had a little electronics firm here in Stephenville, and they were building some of their own equipment, speaker boxes and putting speakers in them and stuff. They were kind of a little ahead of their time, so Neil had decided he was going to take them up on the offer of a job to come to Stephenville and work in the electronics company with them. Myself and Ted McNeil, who were from Stephenville anyway, and our families were still here, decided that we were pretty much done with St. John's, and we were going to come back to Stephenville as well. We did come back, and we formed a three-piece band, myself and Neil and Ted McNeil, TNT. And somewhere within a number of months, we got talking about having a recording studio here in Stephenville. It was just a natural progression, and, you know, for any musician who wants to record his own stuff, and we were still active musically, obviously. So with the Toms brothers, myself and Neil, we decided that we were going to have a go at opening a recording studio. We had space where the boys were operating their electronics firm, which was JML Electronics. There was extra space down there, cheap space. The principals then were Max and Larry Toms and Neil and myself. Ted McNeil had no interest in doing the recording studio thing. I'm not sure how it came about, but there was a fifth person added to this group of madmen, and it was Claude House. Now, Claude's a cousin of mine. Claude was living in Gander at the time, I'm pretty sure, and still lives there to this day. And he was interested in becoming a part of this group. So there were actually five people, five investors, five partners in this idea of putting together a recording studio. So we went to the Department of Rural Development. We would like to open a recording studio, and we were looking for financing. Of course, his eyes kind of bugged out. If it wasn't something to do with fishing or farming, a recording studio in Stephenville?
Yes.
You got to be kidding. Anyway, we put in our application for funding, and we had to put in so much money ourselves. And maybe that's why we needed the fifth person. I don't know. I think we all kicked in $1,000 each, the five of us, and we ended up getting some financing through rural development. That's kind of how it got started.
Well, okay, so you applied, you got your financing, what then?
We had the space in building that the Toms brothers were operating their little electronics firm, so we had a room there, and we just started doing our own work. I think we pretty much did all of the construction of the control room and the recording room itself. It was a fairly high ceiling space, and we cordoned off a couple of isolation booths and stuff like that. And
do you remember back in at the time that you were doing this, what your feelings were? I mean, it seems to me like that must have been exciting. Like this was
absolutely.
You were doing something new, and
younger. That was certainly a part of it. But I mean, yeah, I guess we all kind of knew that playing in bands wasn't going to sort of last forever. Mm. Neil Bishop was married and had a child. We were looking to create something for our futures, and we thought there was obviously a living in it, and who knows how far that could have gone, you know.
So the year would have been?
I think it was around 1977. So it didn't take all that long for us to put the whole thing together.
We'll hear more from Claude Keynes in a little bit. Now, when the Claude Sound Recording Studio opened its doors, a local choral group was amongst the earliest to step inside. The Seville Singers had been performing in the Stephenville area at conventions, concerts, and festivals since the early 70s. Early in 1978, they released a long-playing album entitled Memories of Love, and they dedicated the album to Linda Keynes, Claude Keynes' sister, who had passed a few years earlier. Here are the Seville Singers with a song written by their founder and director, Gene M. House, My Island Home.
Hospitality.
from 1978, the Seville Singers. Isn't that great stuff? With My Island Home. Engineered and produced by Claude Keynes and Neil Bishop, and featuring Claude Keynes and the Chimes. That was recorded at the Claude Sound Productions in Stephenville of Newfoundland. Now, I think the album which really put the Claude Sound recording studio on the map was recorded by a group with a strong West Coast presence, and that group was TNT. The members included the two kingpins of the Key label, Neil Bishop and Claude Keynes, plus Stephenville boy Ted McNeil. TNT evolved from the St. John's bass band Pinnacle, and also included UK bluesman Dennis Parker and American vocalist Elaine Kilpatrick. Bruce White and Brian Murphy rounded out the group. From 1977, we'll now hear progressive rockers TNT with a song that received extensive airplay throughout the province, the Dennis Parker composition, Once Around the Harbor, on 93.5 CHMR. From 1977, TNT, Once Around the Harbor. You're listening to a history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio on the Newfound Records Radio Hour. Now, 1978 was a banner year for the Claude Sound Studio. The ever-popular and hard-working duo Corey and Trina released Songs for Laughing and Dancing. Newfoundland's first lady of the accordion, Minnie White, released Homestead Reels. And a new genre took the province by storm. A fusion of traditional Newfoundland and rock and roll. Some call it rock and reel. A one-trad rock LP recorded at Claude Sound included a song that has become a modern classic. A song that has been covered by luminaries such as Valdi and Emmylou Harris. A song that is arguably the most popular Newfoundland song recorded in the vinyl era. Released in 1978 on the Key label, engineered by Neil Bishop and Claude Keynes, this is Ron Hines and the Wonderful Grand Band, the original recording of Sonny's Dream on the Newfound Records Radio Hour.
Sonny lives on a farm, on a wide open space. You could take off your sneakers and give up the race. You could lay down your head by a sweet riverbed. But Sonny always remembers what it was his mama said. And she said, oh, Sonny, don't go away. I am here all alone. And your daddy's a sailor who never comes home. And the nights get so long, and the silence goes on, and I'm feeling so tired, I'm not all that strong.
Sonny carries a load, he is barely a man. There ain't all that to do, still he does what he can. And he watches the sea from a room by the stairs, and the waves keep on rolling. They've done that for years. Oh, Sonny, don't go away. I am here all alone.
And your dad, he's a sailor who never comes home. And the nights get so long, and the silence goes on, and I'm feeling so tired. All that strong. And it's 100 miles to town. Sonny's never been there. And he goes to the highway and stands there and stares. And the mail comes at 4. And the mailman is old. And he still dreams his dreams full of silver and gold. Oh, Sonny, don't. I am here all alone. And your daddy's a sailor who never comes home. And the nights get so long, and the silence goes on. And I'm feeling so tired, I'm not all that strong. Oh, Sonny, don't go away. I am here all alone. And your daddy's a sailor who never comes home, and the nights get so long, and the silence goes on, and I'm feeling so tired, I'm not all that strong. Oh, Sonny, don't go away. I am here all alone, and your daddy's a sailor.
Newfound Records continues its history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio with Claude Keynes after a short break.
For all your favorite country and Newfoundland music, tune in Friday nights at 9 p.m. on CHMR 93.5 FM.
Keep looking over your shoulder. A shadow you might see. It may not be your reflection.
featuring the best in folk and blues, you're tuned to Mun Radio 93.5 CHMR FM, your only music alternative.
The Mun Sustainability Office was opened in January of 2007, and the work that it does is guided by the Advisory Committee on Sustainability. If you have an interest in environmental or sustainability issues and would like to learn what Mun is doing, or would yourself like to help Mun become green, contact the Sustainability Coordinator by emailing sustain@mun.ca or calling 737-2637.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. The show is produced and recorded at the CHMR Studios, Memorial University, Campus and Community Radio in St. John's. Every week, we spin the music of Newfoundland and Labrador from our forgotten recording artists of the pre-digital 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And today, part one of the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studios. Be sure to tune in next week for the second episode of this two-part special. Now, Newfound Records is very pleased that in addition to being heard on CHMR, we're now also heard on two community radio stations in Newfoundland. One is the Voice of Bombay Radio, VOBB, community radio in the heart of Gros Morne. And the other, Radio Belle Island, community radio from the Belle of the Bay. So I extend a very warm welcome to listeners in Bombay and in Belle Island. And a welcome as well to listeners on the East Coast KitchenParty.net. You can follow the Newfound Records Radio Hour on our wonderful companion website. The address for that is newfoundrecords.ca. And you can listen to the most recent program there whenever you want to. We're also on Facebook and we're on Twitter, where our handle is @newfoundrecords. Do send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. You can send it to Wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. That's Wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. We now return to the history of the Claude Sound Recording Studio. I asked co-founder and co-owner of the studio, Claude Keynes, what equipment the studio used and how it evolved throughout the life of the studio.
I think initially the piece of equipment that we had, the main recorder, was operating with half-inch tape. The standard at the time probably was 2-inch tape, so we weren't exactly state-of-the-art by any means. And we did eventually, after a couple of years, we did upgrade to a 1-inch format.
That would give better quality.
Well, you get more space. I mean, we had the capability for 16 tracks. The 16 tracks that'd be shared onto that half-inch tape, whereas if you go with 1-inch tape, you got twice the amount of tape. You got twice the amount of tape and twice the quality, really. We had an 8-track board. And it was made by TAC or Tascam, the same company. I mean, you know, they were kind of, well, obviously it was professional, just because not just anybody had 8-tracks or half-inch tape machines. We eventually bought a second 8-track mixer and married the 2 8s together, so it gave us 16-track capacity. And we went from the half-inch tape up to 1-inch tape. Mm-hmm. So, and then we had, then you would have to have, To make a master of the album or the recording that you're doing, you would have to take those 16 tracks of music that you would put on your 1-inch tape, and it had to be transferred then down to a regular 1/4-inch tape, which is typically known as your master. And that's what we would send off to Toronto to have Quality Records, actually in our case, transfer that from the tape onto vinyl. So we had various outboard pieces of equipment like reverbs and echoes and that type of thing, you know. Good microphones, obviously. Our final product was a 1/4-inch master tape.
And that went off to Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in Toronto, what would come out of Toronto would be the final product, packaged and everything?
Packaged and everything, yeah. It would come, and we would generally fly them because we had an airport here that, yeah. Air Canada would fly the finished product in through Air Canada into Stephenville and then ship them off to...
So you mentioned there was a minimum requirement of pricing at least 1,000?
Yeah, you had to do 1,000
albums,
yeah.
To make it economically worthwhile and sell them was their second pressing done.
Yeah,
right. But yeah. Sometimes there was, I suppose. Do you remember? Which ones? So I guess I'm the sure Wonderful Grand Band, for example, that must have.
Wonderful Grand Band. I don't remember how many they did, but I, yeah, there had to be more than the one pressing, and probably TNT probably had a couple as well.
Right.
You know.
What about singles? Do you remember the was there was a minimum requirement for singles as well?
I'm going to say 1,000. I'm pretty sure it was still 1,000 copies of anything that you wanted pressed. Yeah. Otherwise, it wasn't worth your while probably even to set up the machinery for it. You know.
We'll hear more from Claude Keynes shortly. But now, from Claude Sound Productions in 1978, let's give a listen to Jamie Snyder, Don Walsh, Derek Pelley, Bruce Crummell, Sean Power, and Brian Best, collectively known as the Tread Rockers Red Island, from their one and only album, In Pursuit of the Wild Bologna. The track we'll listen to is the traditional Travelin' Jigs. Red Island with Travelin' Jigs. Great rock and reel there from 1978. You're listening to 93.5 CHMR. Now next, Claude Keynes speaks of Neil Bishop's production talents.
Certainly something else that we supplied, and I shouldn't say we, I should say more like Neil Bishop, was producing these things. A lot of those things that were put on these 45s and albums were ideas from Neil Bishop. In particular, you know, a very tasteful musician, and so as a producer, which is pretty important to any recording, because obviously a lot of these people came into the studio with a melody and some chords, and that was pretty much it. They could sit down and play it on a guitar, or maybe they couldn't even play it on a guitar. They could just sing along, and you'd have to figure out the chords as you went along. And we would take it from that stage and bring it to, you know, a final product.
Because on many of those recordings, your name shows up there, you and Neil, as being producers and the engineers.
Yes, yes.
Of the recordings.
Yeah, we were certainly engineers. We, you know, we took our turn engineering, sitting behind the control board and that type of thing. But producing was another entity.
I next asked Claude Keynes to speak about the backup musicians which were available to those who recorded at Claude Sound.
In our case, I mean, if you know, Neil and I were obviously owners, so I don't think that we actually charged for our services. But if we had to bring in somebody from the community, a piano player, backup singers, steel guitar player, or whatever, we would certainly they would have to be reimbursed.
And that was another thing I think that must have been quite attractive to Newfoundlanders who were new to the recording studio. A lot of them just wanted to get a recording done, but they had no way to get it done before Claude Sound Studios. You provided good, very good musicians.
Well, yeah, with the names like Neil Bishop, let's face it. I mean, Neil was an all-around, you know, musician, guitar player. I mean, he could play anything, anytime. And so to have him on your 45 or your LP would have certainly been a selling point for us. Ted McNeil and his brother Kevin McNeil, both living here in Stephenville, both two very, very good drummers. Skip Abbott, a local chap from Port-au-Port here, a very good bass player. I did a lot of the bass work on a lot of the early stuff, but when it got into the more intricate stuff, we would call on Skip Abbott.
What other instruments did you play?
That was pretty much it. I did do a fair bit of harmony singing. I still hear songs today on the radio once in a while throughout the year, and I'll say, oh, that's me. I did harmony on that one, yeah. Nice.
One of the most popular singles to come out of Claude Sound Studios, one that received loads of airplay in 1978, was the fast-paced disco-y Nancy. We'll hear it sung by its composer, Peter Francis Quinlan.
Why am I sitting here tonight, wasting my time and my life over you? Why good fool must I go on, hoping that you come back to stay? The nights are long since you've been gone, and I just can't bear it. Coming down was hard when I was so high, girl. You helped me share it.
First came the fight.
First came the fight.
One of the province's most popular entertainers back in the late 1970s, Peter Francis Quinlan, with his local hit, Nancy, recorded at the Claude Sound Recording Studios. Now, in 1978, Claude Sound Productions packed up their gear and set it up again at the Arts and Culture Center in Gander. There they recorded a choir, the New Generation Singers. From that choir's LP, Souvenirs, released in 1978, recorded live at the Arts and Culture Center in Gander by the Claude Sound Productions Mobile Unit. This is Neil Young's After the Gold Rush. You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor coming, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drumming. tree. There was a fanfare blowing into the sun that was floating on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. I was lying in a burnt out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head and I felt like getting high. Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie.
Well, I dreamed I saw a silver spaceship lying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all round the chosen ones.
All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver seat to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver.
From 1978, the New Generation Singers with Neil Young's After the Gold Rush. Now, the husband and wife duo, Corey and Trina, ranked amongst the top entertainers and recording artists in Newfoundland through the 1970s. They had a huge regional hit with the novelty tune cover of the Newfoundland Herald in 1974. And in 1978, they were back in the recording studio, this time in Stephenville, to lay down their second LP, Songs for Laughing and Dancing. And out of that session came a song that has become a modern classic, The Northern Lights of Labrador on 93.5.
I've traveled by the northern star since the day that I was born. From the Caribbean to New Orleans, I've been inclined to roam. And the beauty I've seen and the places I've been, I thought up Labrador and see those lights that shine so bright in the skies of Labrador.
Our time is up for today. Minnie White takes us out with a track from her LP, Homestead Reels, recorded at Cloud Sound, of course, way back in 1978. We're listening to the Micmac Reel and Homestead Reel. You've been listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. The show was recorded at the CHMR FM Studios, Memorial University in St. John's. It was researched, produced, and hosted by me, Wayne Tucker. Send your email to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. That's wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for part two of the history of the Cloud Sound Recording Studio. Until then, as always, be kind to Mother Earth and her children. Bye-bye. Take her out, Minnie.